The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Susan Keogh filling in for Matt Cooper on The Last Word this evening, and I'm joined in studio by Helen Vaughan, psychotherapist from Maynooth Counselling in County Kildare. She was here with us yesterday and we were discussing about anxiety and how it can be something that affects people, particularly at this time of year. So she's back with us today, and today we are going to be talking about the happiness myth, the search for happiness, and whether happiness is attainable at all. So Helen, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, good to be here.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about challenges people have to overcome to try and find happiness. I know it's very, very, very sort of subjective, but in general, how do people get there?
And I think happiness is a funny thing because, as you say, it's subjective. And I think lots of people have a sense that everyone else is 100% happy all day, every day, and I'm the only one who's not, which is not true, because everyone has their stresses and obviously, you know, their anxious times and difficulties. And I think often it's your sense of other people's happiness, that incorrect perception, that drives your unhappiness in a way.
This is where we have to talk a little bit about social media. This surely has a massive impact on that. Like the Instagram life, everyone else's life looks perfect on Instagram. It's like, you know, you look in on other people's life and it looks like they just have this lovely filter on them. But that can't be the case for everybody. And, you know,
so they're always in a cafe having the most amazing lunch, or down in the park and it's
sunny, doing their workouts, or on the beach or whatever. That's something that people, I guess, need to remember, that like people will only ever post, you know, mostly will post the positive things in their life, but everybody has their challenges.
And, you know, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes for that person. They might be posting a photo of themselves at the gym every day to try to feel good because they feel so bad. And then that in turn is maybe making you feel bad about yourself. Oh, I haven't been to the gym since last week. Oh no, what am I doing? This is terrible. Immediately you're unhappy, you know. And it's, you know, I do think with social media, it's hopefully learning to manage how much you look at it, and also what you think when you look at it, that you don't think, oh, that girl in California has the best life ever. Maybe she does, possibly she doesn't, you know, but I guess it's what you tell yourself around that. And if you need to just take a break from social media for long portions of the day,
like maybe in January might be a good idea. But tell me, like, are some people better equipped to find happiness than others? Like, are there certain people out there who are just never happy?
Maybe to some degree, but I think it's learning how to find your own sense of happiness is the key. And I think everyone is capable of that. If you can just figure out maybe what you're telling yourself in your head that is making you less happy rather than more happy. And the other thing with happiness is, you know, the opposite of happiness is not necessarily unhappiness. Often it's apathy and just not caring anymore. So it's realizing what happiness is for you, how to attain it for you. And the other thing about it is not thinking that because I have any negative thoughts or feelings or experiences, that doesn't mean I'm not happy. It doesn't mean I'm an unhappy person. I know in that moment you're doing a presentation at work and you're feeling nervous about it and you're stressed, you know, and maybe you come out and you feel great because it went well. That's all great. You know, the fact that you were nervous and stressed doesn't mean that you're an unhappy person. So I think it's realizing what's realistic happiness wise. You know, and I often see couples in couples counselling come in and they think everyone else's relationship is great and they're the only one with any challenges. Everyone has challenges. People mask it in different ways. You've got those friends who've never been to a bad party or whose babies slept through the night after 2 months. And you're like, OK, maybe they did that once and that's great for you and everything. But don't feel bad about yourself because you think everyone else is having a brilliant time and you're the only one who isn't.
If you do find yourself kind of in that space where you feel unhappy a lot, are there any practical things that you could do to try and, I suppose, just shake yourself out of it a little bit?
Well, there's some things that I use that I really like that are quite simple, that just, because one thing that can be quite good with happiness is almost teaching your brain to be positive when you have a choice between negativity and positivity. One great one that I use most days, although not lately, actually, no, I need to get back on it, is being grateful. And it's about being grateful for little things. It doesn't have to be that I had, or I don't know, that my boss told me today that I'm brilliant and I had the best day ever. It's about finding gratitude in little things. And what I do most nights when I go to sleep is to think of three things that day that I'm grateful for. So while you're in bed, you're not lying there worried about what you have to do the next day. You're trying to be grateful for the day you've had. And it might be that, you know, I'm grateful I went for a walk with my daughter today and, you know, we had nice time together. It might be I had a nice sandwich for my lunch and that was good, you know, or I brought my lunch today and I really enjoyed it, or I had a good chat with my brother, or, you know, whatever it is. It can be small things that don't have to be I went and I bought myself a new outfit.
So don't take tiny things for granted. Try and acknowledge them, I suppose, and recognise that they are good things that you have.
Exactly. And try to be appreciative of them, so that then every day you get into the habit of, like, what good things happened today, rather than focusing on the negative things that happened. Like, you might have, you know, sometimes in the morning you're driving to work and someone cuts you off and you just get really angry and irate, and you spend the whole drive to work angry and irate, and then you get to work and you trip over, you drop something and you're like, oh, this bloody day, everything's ruined.
Yeah.
And you're gone away on
it's a
cycle
cumulative
of negativity.
Effect, like, yeah.
When you're like, don't let that, whoever it was that cut you off, don't let them bother you. You don't even know them. They don't know you. You don't know what they look like. You don't know who they are. Don't let them ruin your whole buzz for the whole day.
So for things that you can't control and things that you can't have control over, so like things like that, traffic in the morning, or just things that go wrong that you have no control over, learning to just let them go.
Control the controllables, let go of the things you can't control. Because if you're going to be stressing about things you can't control, yet you can't do anything about them, where is that going to get you? You know, if someone cuts you off, that's really annoying. Fair enough, in the morning, you're always in a hurry. But if you take on that, I always think that person is stressed and angry and maybe they'll beep you out of it and they'll give you all this grief. Are you going to take on their anger? No, thanks. Sorry, buddy. You can have that. You can keep that. You know, so it's saying I can't control that man or woman, whoever it was, just cut me off, but I can control my reaction to it, and I can decide I'm not going to get stressed about that, because whoever that person is clearly having a bad day and I'm not going to have a bad day just because of them, you know. And I know it's, I think it's tough sitting in traffic not to get stressed, but it's about accepting what you can control and letting go of what you can't control, because otherwise you drive yourself mad.
We're just over Christmas, and for some people, like, you know, it's not traffic in the morning that's making them sad, or it's not somebody cutting them off. It's actual proper tangible things. Like, people have had some really tough times. Things have happened to them. If there is somebody who's listened to us and they genuinely feel very sad, and it's not over something, you know, that can be fixed easily, have you any tips for them maybe to try and lift them a little bit out of it?
Well, I think it's things like trying to do some gratefulness in the evening. I'd suggest possible psychotherapy, obviously, because it's the business I work in. If you feel you've got emotions and you don't know maybe why you have them, or you feel like they're all consuming and you can't quite figure out, sometimes sitting with someone else and talking about it, you can kind of start to just come to realizations, you know, that maybe this is something that goes back a few years, or maybe this is something, you know, a habit that I've got into in terms of my thinking or in terms of my self-belief or whatever is behind the kind of negative thoughts. You know, acceptance is a great thing, learning to accept small things or sometimes even big things. You know, you might have lost a parent or something like that, you know, and that's really tough and you might be grieving. And it's even realizing that what I'm feeling right now is grief because, say, my father passed away a year ago or 2 years ago, and you think it was so long ago, I should be fine by now. But no, you're a human being, you're grieving, there's a loss. What have you done with that loss? Have you dealt with those emotions? Sometimes it's working it through with a friend, you know, a loved one, a therapist, whoever it is. It's having someone else, even just to listen to you and to be heard, like the power of someone else hearing where you're at, how you're feeling. And then you don't need them to fix you necessarily. You just need to be listened to and almost held by someone, whether that's emotionally held or physically held or a little bit of both. You know, it's connecting with someone.
Absolutely. Well, a problem shared is a problem halved, as they say. You recommended a good book to us yesterday when we were speaking about anxiety. You have a book to recommend today about happiness.
This is a book written by a man called Viktor Frankl called Man's Search for Meaning, which is an incredible book written in 1946. So Viktor Frankl ended up in a concentration camp during the war. And this book is his account of how he mentally got himself through it. And it's basically a lesson to anyone to teach you basically how to find your own meaning in life. There isn't necessarily a meaning of life that we're all searching for, but it's about finding your own. What's important to you? What makes you tick? And I think happiness can be obtained when you figure out what's happiness for me, what's meaningful for me, what brings me joy. And that might be your family, that might be doing well at your job, it might be a combination of those things, it might be getting out in nature, it might be, you know, people take up running, and then it might be doing a fast 5k or 10k, it might be having a dog, having a cat, whatever it is. There's no right or wrong with it, but it's figuring out, you know, what gives you meaning, what brings you joy. And there's an amazing quote in the book saying, He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how. So when you've got something to live for, you can figure out
how you're going to do it,
how to get through it. Exactly. And it's just, it's a really good, you know, you read that book and you think he got through a concentration camp. He saw other guys, you know, in the same cell or whatever that he was in that just gave up. And then they died, whereas he didn't. He thought of his wife, who he'd loved dearly, and he was a psychiatrist, I think, and he was rewriting a book that he'd written before he went in. So he spent his whole time rewriting that book, thinking about giving lectures on that book and thinking about his love for his wife, which mentally just got him through the day-to-day experience. You can't even possibly imagine what it was like. But, you know, that was his meaning and that's what he found and that's what worked for him.
OK, brilliant. Now, Helen, you're going to join us again tomorrow and we're going to be talking about work stress and mindfulness, which I think is particularly pertinent at this time of the year. People are probably just in their first week back in work, maybe after their Christmas break. So Helen Vaughan, psychotherapist with Maynooth Counselling in County Kildare, will be back with us tomorrow to talk about that.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.